1-11, where Jesus Christ was tempted of the devil on our behalf. Beginning in verse 1 of Matthew chapter 4, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. When he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Then said Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. The title of my message is, It is Written. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we go to your word, we pray you'd use it in our lives. Teach us, grow us, change us. We're just thankful for this opportunity and pray you'd be glorified in it. And Lord, whatever the needs might be in every heart, you would meet those today. And so we love you and commit this service to you. And pray this all in the name of our wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You probably noticed in verse 1 that we have the Spirit and the devil in the same verse. The Bible says he was led up of the Spirit to be tempted of the devil. And that is how it works. God doesn't do the tempting, but God allows it. It was the Spirit of God that led Jesus Christ into the desert. And then it was the devil that tempted Jesus. It is the Spirit of God that allows us to be in situations where we are tried and tempted, and it is the devil and the flesh and the world that tempt. God allows it because it's good for us. And in this case, it was necessary. Not necessarily that Jesus needed it like we need it, but that in the long run we needed Jesus Christ to be tempted, so that the scriptures would be true, which say that Jesus was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Jesus Christ, in his time on earth, experienced every sin that man could be tempted with. He experienced those temptations and yet never sinned. And now the Bible teaches that he is able to help us as we come to him with our temptations and our trials. The Bible says in Hebrews 4:15, he was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. All points. God arranged it such that Jesus Christ understands every temptation and trial that we face because he faced it. The Bible tells us in verse 2 that when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. Now, we know that Jesus Christ is God. He is Jehovah. But during his time on earth, he was also a man. And for our sakes, he became a man. But as a man, he experienced the things that we experienced, like hunger, like thirst, like tiredness. But this was, if you will, to make the temptation as intense or as real as can be. Imagine going 40 days and 40 nights without eating. I'm sure none of us have ever done that. I'm sure we've fasted, but 40 days, that's a long time. And you know, the devil knows when we're weak. And when we're weak, that's when he comes. But the devil is a created being who is limited by God. Let's remember that as we walk through this passage together. But he's also much more powerful than we are. And let's remember that as we go through this passage together. But it's the Word of God that has the power to stop him and resist him, as we'll see. But before we talk about that further, I just want to look at a couple of scriptures about the devil and how he understands when we're weak and how he comes at us when we're weak. Look at Luke chapter 22, verse 31. Because the Bible refers to him there in verse 3 of our passage as the tempter. One of his names, one of his titles is the tempter. Notice here at the end of Jesus' ministry, here in Luke 22, Jesus Christ turns to Peter and warns him. Verse 31, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. Jesus knows everything, and he knew that the devil had Peter in his sights. And we all know what happened. Not long after this is when Peter went and denied the Lord. And so he warned him, Satan has his eye on you. Satan knows that you're weak. Satan's going to come after you, and he did. And for that short time, Satan won a small victory in Peter's life. But the Bible knows, the devil knows our weaknesses. The Bible refers to him in 1 Peter 5:8 as our adversary, our enemy. And if you would look at Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, you know, the Bible refers here to our besetting sin. The Bible says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Look at this next passage. And the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. We all know that we have that weakness. That's that besetting sin. And it's different for every one of us. Unfortunately, it looks like the devil knows what it is and uses it against us. And so the devil comes to Christ after fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. He's hungry. And so if you go back to our passage, he starts by appealing to that hunger. Notice verse 3, he's referred to as the tempter. It says, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Jesus is hungry. 40 days of not eating. The devil says, you're God. Turn these stones into bread and you won't be hungry anymore. Sounds easy enough. Jesus had the power to do it. And as we walk through this passage, what you're going to find is that the devil attacked Jesus with all three of the major sin groups that John defines for us in 1 John chapter 2. He says, all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. You're going to see that the devil used each one of those three against Christ. The first one, the lust of the flesh, the satisfaction of the flesh. The devil says, command that these stones be made bread. Jesus answered verse 4 and said, it is written. It doesn't sound like much of a phrase. It doesn't sound all that powerful, but it is. When we get to the end of the passage, you're going to find that the devil left. The devil fled. And the Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. How do we do that? We can't see him. How do we resist the devil? Jesus is showing us how. No, we don't have the power to resist the devil, but my friend, this does. Because this is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. This isn't just a book. This is the Word of God. And the devil knows this book, but he also hates this book. And this book has the power to resist the devil. Jesus was tempted three times in this passage, and three times he didn't fight, he didn't wrestle with the devil, he quoted Scripture. That's all he did. And so verse 4, it is written. Jesus Christ understood the power of the Word of God, and we need to as well. Jeremiah 23:29, it said, is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? That's the Word of God. Most of us know Hebrews 4:12, the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's power. To pierce the dividing of soul and spirit, to discern the thoughts and intents of the heart, the Bible says the Bible has that power. Joshua 1:8, in speaking to Joshua, God says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make the way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Success is in the Bible one time. Joshua 1:8. And it's attached to knowing, meditating in, memorizing, living the Word of God. So, resist the devil, we're told in James 4:7, and he will flee from you. Jesus Christ said, it is written, verse 4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Jesus said a lot in that one sentence. Did you notice that he told us that the Bible came directly from God's mouth? That's called inspiration. And you must believe in inspiration to understand that this is God's Word. It's not just a book. That our Creator wrote it. Yes, He used men and He wrote through them, but God wrote this book. The Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. All of it. It's directly from God. God wrote a book for us, said, here is my will for you. And Jesus says that man is to live by it. We're to live by this book. Let's go, if we could, to Psalm 119. The longest chapter in the Bible happens to also be a chapter about the Word of God. That's not a coincidence. Psalm 119. Let's start at verse 11. And just look at a couple scriptures about man living by the Word of God, which is what Jesus said we must do. We'll start at verse 11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. So if we're going to live by the Word of God, God says, for beginners, we must hide it in our hearts. Now that sounds like work, and it is. But it's a necessity for Christians to memorize Scripture. And now move over to Psalm 119:97. We could spend all morning in Psalm 119, but we won't. David said, oh, how love I thy law, it is my meditation all the day. So not only does God tell us to hide the Word in our hearts, but He tells us to meditate in the Word of God. We're talking here about fulfilling Jesus' statement about living by the Word of God. What does He mean by living by it? He means that we make it a part of our lives. So we memorize it. We meditate in it. And look over in verse 105 of Psalm 119. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We're led by the Word of God. That will show us the way to go. But it can't do it if we're not in it. And so we're to be led by the Word. We're to hide the Word in our hearts. We're to meditate in the Word. Now look over in 2 Timothy chapter 2. For a New Testament reference, verse 15, the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. So God has helped us understand what does it mean to live by the Word of God. We need to study it. We need to memorize it. We need to meditate in it. Of course, we need to read it. Isaiah 34:16 says, read the Word. This is God's Word. And Jesus says that it is so powerful that man needs to live by it, that it is so powerful that it is the only thing that we have in our possession that has the power to resist the devil. And one last scripture I'll mention, Romans 10:17. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. God not only wants us to make it part of our lives by meditating in it, memorizing it, studying it, reading it, but also exposing ourselves to it like we're all doing this morning through the teaching and preaching. That was all God's plan, not something man made up. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so the devil here is tempting Christ, first with the lust of the flesh, verse 5 of our passage, Matthew 4. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. Now I want you to notice something. This is important. The devil says, It is written. He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. The devil knows the Word of God, but the devil misapplies the Word of God. The devil twists the Word of God. It started in the Garden of Eden. Yea, hath God said? Did God really mean that if you take of that fruit you'll die? That's not what God really meant. What He meant was, He doesn't want you to have all of this knowledge. That's what he really meant. And so the devil knows the Bible well enough to twist it. And where do you think cults come from? They come from here. People twisting and misapplying Scripture, not rightly dividing the Word and so forth. That's what the devil does. That's what he's a master at. And so he takes the Scripture here and tries to twist it and say, well, the Bible says it's okay for you to jump off this temple because the angels will take care of you. Which is the pride of life. Trying to tempt him with pride. Trying to tempt him to show off, if you will. Verse 7, Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. God warns us over and over again in the New Testament, don't tempt the Lord. 1 Corinthians 10:9 says, Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Referring to the Old Testament temptations of God. It is written again, Jesus. That's all he said. Verse 8, Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. This is an important passage too. Because when you read this verse, you say, Oh, well, that's just the devil being the devil. No, the devil was offering something to Jesus that he actually possessed. Because the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 4:4 that he is the God of this world. In Ephesians 2:2, he's referred to as the prince of the power of the air. He's referred to as the spirit that worketh unto children of disobedience. That is the devil. He is currently the God of this world. Now, God is the God of the universe and has allowed the devil to be God of this world, but he is. And when he took Jesus up onto this high mountain and said, If you'll worship me, I'll give you all these kingdoms, he was offering something that he could offer. Verse 10, Then said Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan. I like that verse. Get thee hence. Look over at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27, if you would. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27. The Bible tells us here, Neither give place to the devil. Let's face it, we're our own worst enemy. The Bible says, make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Make no place for the devil. Give no place to the devil. We set ourselves up to get into trouble. Rather than avoiding the things we know are going to cause us trouble, rather than avoiding the areas we know we're weak, we tend to run toward them and then say, uh-oh, I need your help here, Lord. Jesus says, Satan, get thee hence. For, Matthew 4:11, for it is written. Third time, third temptation. Of course, this third temptation was the lust of the eyes. Third temptation, third quote. It is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. We are only to worship the Lord. The devil was saying, worship me. Say, well, we're Christians. We would never worship the devil. But you think the devil doesn't trick Christians into worshiping power and money and fame and all these other things? The last thing John wrote in his epistle was, little children, keep thyself from idols. Keep yourselves from idols. You think there aren't idols today for Christians? Of course there are. But it is written, and I love verse 11 of Matthew 4, then the devil leaveth him. Go to James chapter 4, if you would, verse 7. Then the devil leaveth him. James chapter 4, verse 7. This is a command from God's Word for Christians, James 4:7, submit yourselves therefore to God. Look at the rest of the verse, James 4:7, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Resist the devil. I don't think we have to wonder now what that means, because Jesus just taught us after his 40 days and 40 nights of fasting and being tempted of the devil with the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. What did Jesus do? How did he resist the devil? With the Word of God. That's it. You know, we read verses like resist the devil. What does it mean? How do we resist the devil? We can't see him. And now we see how important it is, as Jesus told us at the first temptation, that man lives by the Word of God. Because we need this. When you read the armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6, almost everything mentioned is defensive. Breastplate, your loins girt about, your shoes, your helmet. That's all to protect you from attack. But then it says, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, in Ephesians 6:17. Now that's not defensive, that's offensive. The sword of the Spirit. Resist the devil with the sword of the Spirit, and he will flee from you. That's what Jesus did, and the devil left. Now one thing I want you to understand, is this the last time the devil tempted Christ? No. And if we resist the devil and he flees from us, does that mean, whew, no more devil till Jesus comes? I wish. Wouldn't that be nice? You just have to face it once. No, you're going to face it over and over and over again. He's going to come at you from a different direction, a different tact. He's always going to try something new. He's going to keep coming after us. What does that mean? It means we need to live by this. We need to study it. We need to meditate in it. We need to memorize it. We need to read it. We need to expose ourselves to it as much as we can so that our faith grows. We need this book. God gave it to us, and it is so important for us as Christians. It is our food. It is our protection. We need it. And I think Jesus made that abundantly clear in this passage. When all he said to the devil was, it is written, three times. And then he just quoted Old Testament scripture, because the New Testament wasn't written yet. It is written, it is written, it is written. And the devil leaveth him. Isn't that beautiful? It is written. Let's pray. Lord,